How would you like to be able to discover wealth strategies most entrepreneurs overlook? Peter Culver will tell us how to do it. He is a family office advisor and co-founder of Wealth Thrive. So, Peter, you are a family office advisor with so much experience, and you've been advising family offices for so long. And you also used to be the former senior wealth director at BNY Mellon and provided comprehensive wealth coaching to clients with portfolios exceeding $2 billion in investments. So you have so much experience, advising clients on their wealth. So how can entrepreneurs leverage your advice in order to create and keep more wealth?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Yeah, so the silly answer is just listen for the next 30 minutes and we'll try and tell them a few things. But I think what we say in our practice is almost all of our clients are business owners, so entrepreneurs. And we often say that there are two great ways to create wealth in America. One is to start a business and grow it to some significance and prominence, and either it becomes a cash generation machine, or you sell it someday for a lot of money, and that provides a nest egg. Most people overlook how powerful it is in creating wealth to not pay taxes. And it's really, the logic behind it is just math. So the federal income tax in the United States is 37%. The capital gains tax is 20%. Some states add state taxes. I'm working with a guy right now. He's going to sell a business in California. If he does nothing, he will pay 50% of what he receives for selling his business in taxes. So just think about if I took 50% and did something useful with it and compounded that money, you're going to be at least 50% more wealthy. So we work with clients to show them how to reduce their income taxes, their capital gain taxes, and in some cases, if they have enough wealth, their estate taxes.
Okay, so tell us some wealth strategies that most entrepreneurs overlook. What's your blueprint for getting there?
Yeah, so I would say in the income tax area, I'll just give some examples of maybe the two most powerful strategies we use right now on the income tax front are investing in solar projects and a form of charitable deduction. Now, investing in solar projects is advantageous tax-wise because it has two tax benefits. One, solar panels are equipment. So any business owner that's ever owned a business that has equipment knows that you can depreciate your equipment just like you can depreciate real estate if you own it. What's powerful about solar is, and it may get slightly better if the big, beautiful tax bill gets passed, but right now you can deduct up to 50, 90, excuse me, percent of the depreciation in the first year. So there's very, very accelerated depreciation. The real benefit of solar is the legislation provides for tax credits. So little distinction there. A deduction helps you reduce your income from the gross income down to adjusted gross income. So you can subtract depreciation, you can subtract paying your mortgage, other things like that. So it's powerful, but it's only powerful based on what tax bracket you're in. So credits are powerful because they go dollar for dollar against tax. So you can go through that whole calculation, gross income minus deductions equals adjusted gross income. And if you did nothing else, then you would just multiply that number by your tax rate and you'd owe however much money you'd owe in taxes. Credits just go dollar for dollar against the tax. Now, the second thing that's very powerful about the solar legislation is in most cases, you can't use all the credits you're entitled to in the first year. That's just because the government doesn't want you to totally zero out your tax liability. Unlike any other credit, the solar legislation says if I can't use all my credit in the first year, I can carry it back up to 3 years. And what that would mean is you'd get refunds because you overpaid your taxes because you didn't know about this credit. So, very simplistically, using solar, you can probably reduce your tax liability, depends a little bit on what state you live in, by 30 to 40%. So, again, that's money that rather than writing a check to the government, you take and deploy in some way that probably you're going to earn a higher rate of return on it than if you send it to the government, right? So the other strategy we use a lot is what's known as a charitable asset donation. Now, probably everybody on the call knows, I don't know if this is true in the UK or not, but in the States, if I want to write a check to my church, my university, PBS, Habitat for Humanity, if I write a check, or I give stock to a charity, the value of my contribution is just the value of the stock or the check. There's no variability there. If, however, I give an asset to a charity, there are a couple of rules that are important. One is I can only give up to 30% of my gross income. So, simple example, if I made $1 million, I could give an asset to a charity worth up to $300,000. What is available often in the marketplace is an ability to acquire that asset at a discount. So, a not uncommon example would be I could acquire an asset for $75,000 that I could then donate to a charity because it has an appraised value of $300,000. So, I'm acquiring that deduction at a greatly reduced rate. So, those are a couple of little things that we do. And I would say the way we look at it is anybody who's in a high income tax state, so that would be California, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts. California is the worst. If you make anywhere over $750,000 a year, we can probably help you significantly reduce your taxes. Low tax states, so Texas has no state income tax, Florida has no state income tax, a bunch of states don't. It would probably need to be about $1 million in income. And so we work with individual clients one-on-one, gathering their financial information, analyzing the sources and types of their income, and then showing them a whole bunch of cool ways not to pay so much in taxes.
Thank you. Tell us more about other wealth strategies that most entrepreneurs overlook.
Yeah, so I would say, so I just talked a minute ago about the income tax, right? So that's how to sort of squash the taxes on my wages, my distributions, my investment income. A lot of business owners at some point or more than once in their career are going to sell their business or sell some other asset that they own, maybe like a building or something like that. So that's a capital gain. And while the tax rate is lower, capital gain tax rate depends on where you live, but might be 20 to 25%. Often the transactions are very big transactions. And so the tax is going to be a big amount. So there are several strategies you can use there. One is if you have a capital gain event, you're going to have to report on your tax return that gain. So let's just say you sold a building for $5 million. You have a gain of $5 million. That would be in most states taxed at least 20%. So you'd owe a tax of $1 million. There's an interesting strategy that we use where by engaging in investment trading, we create a loss that matches the gain and essentially cancels out the gain. So that's an interesting strategy to use. If there's enough time before that strategy, that trading strategy can be done after the event, as long as it's done in the same tax year. So if I have a gain, let's just say in May of 2025, as long as I were to execute that strategy before the end of the year, I could offset my gain. Now, there's another strategy that we use a lot, which you need to implement before the transaction. And probably a little bit too complex for today, and it would be better described if I had a picture of it. But simplistically, before the sale occurs, we move the asset, the business, the building into a structure that's a tax-free structure, so that then when the sale occurs and the proceeds go into the structure's not taxable, so there's no capital gain tax. Now, it actually gets better than that because the structure, which is a form of a life insurance policy, also says, so let's just say I sell a building for $5 million, my $5 million goes into the structure, no capital gain tax at the beginning. So I've still got $5 million in the structure. If I invest that $5 million inside the structure, there's no tax on the earnings inside the structure. So I could buy stocks and bonds. I could buy another building and sell that building. It's all tax-free inside the structure. And the third thing, which is really nice, is if I want to take money out and spend it on something outside the structure, just taking it out is not taxable. So it's very much like a Roth IRA. So business owners like it, and this structure can be used both with normal stocks and bonds if you had a big gain, but it's adaptable to business interests, real estate, things like that, more assets that typically you couldn't get into an IRA just because of restrictions applicable in America about certain types of assets that can't be owned inside a retirement plan. So that's capital gain tax.
Thank you. Is there anything else that we have missed?
Well, so I would say the third thing probably is, so there are really three types of taxes in America: income tax, which we talked about, capital gain tax, and then estate taxes, maybe in the UK what they call death duties or something like that. So and there are many, many strategies there, but the one I just described, where the asset is moved into a structure that in part uses life insurance, no tax at time of sale, no tax on earnings, no tax on distribution. If there's money still left at the end of the life of the person who created the structure, there's a way to kind of wrap a trust around that structure so that there's no estate taxes. So that's an interesting strategy. So there, that's a, you know, those are the most powerful ones. There are lots of other ones that somewhat more everyday people can use. I'll give two examples of those because I think they're sometimes interesting. So if you have a business and it is a separate entity, your business can rent your home for meetings. And some people would say, well, my business would never rent my home for meetings. They wouldn't want to come here. Leave that, or my wife will kill me if I bring all my workers over. But the way the rule, or I might pay $100 to have a meeting at my home. Well, the way the rule works is it says if the company was going to have a business meeting, and let's just say they were going to have it at a hotel or a conference center, whatever, and they would have to pay for that. The company would have to hire the room, get the audio visual, get the food, all of that. So it turns out that in America, if you do the research and you live in any reasonably affluent area, the cost of doing that is about $2,000 a day. If you had a whole breakfast, meetings, drinks, lunch, some kind of reception at the end. So what that means is your business would pay you, the homeowner, the business owner, $2,000 a day to use your home for meetings. Well, the beauty of it is that income, $2,000 a day, up to 14 days every year is not taxable income. So, you know, it's not massive, but it's not nothing. You know, would that be 14 times 2,000 is $28,000. And what you would do is, it's still a deduction to the business. That's a legitimate business expense. They're paying to have a meeting somewhere. It's not income to you. So what the business owner would do would be to reduce either their salary or their distributions from the business by that $28,000. So they've gotten $28,000 worth of tax-free income. So that's a nice one. Another one that a lot of people use is something called pay the kids. And there's a tax rule in the United States where a business can hire children, and I'll talk about an example because they can be of all different ages, to do work in the business. Now, they have to do real work, age appropriate. They have to keep records to show that the child actually did the work. But the rule is that for each child, the business can pay the child up to $14,700 a year. It's not taxable to the kid, and it's not taxable to their parents. And so what a lot of people do is they take that $14,700 per kid and open up a Roth IRA for the kid to invest the money tax-free. And some people would say it's also a great way to, you know, kind of teach kids a little bit about working and things like that. Now, I said it could be age appropriate. So we have a client who designs crazy fancy wedding dresses. So she has a brochure, she has online stuff, and in her promotional materials, she has pictures of people wearing the wedding dresses. And in one of the pictures, she has a bridesmaid in the picture. The bridesmaid is her daughter. And what they did was they created a contract between the business and the daughter, whereby the business pays the daughter a royalty to use her image in the advertisements. So there are all kinds of interesting ways that you can create to give children age appropriate work to do ends up being tax-free income to them, still deductible by the company because they're paying for services. So those are a few little tips and tricks, as we call them, to save money on taxes. Most people enjoy that.
Thank you. So tell me, why have I never heard of these things? Is
So
it
it's funny you should say that. So I did a presentation in October. There's a Oh, what would you call it? It's like a networking group here in the States called Tiger 21. And to be a member, you have to have at least $20 million of liquid net worth, like money in the bank, stocks. So these are really rich people. So I did this presentation to about 12, it's a mix of women and men, very successful entrepreneurs, obviously. And I went through my whole presentation. And I got done, and then they started asking questions. And some guy stood up, one of the people who was, it was a big circular table, he was there, and he said, "Guys, we are among some of the wealthiest people in America. Objectively, we have access to the best advisors in America. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able." And he's saying, "I've never heard of anything that Peter just talked about. Have any of you guys ever heard of any of this?" And one guy said, "I've heard about that thing about renting your house, but none of the other most powerful strategies." So part of the reason is in the tax world, there are really kind of two different kinds of professionals. There are CPAs who primarily do tax returns. They take the numbers that you give them, they fill out the tax return, and it's an important job. It needs to be done carefully, on time, correctly. They don't, for whatever reason, see their role as coming up with creative ideas to help people save taxes. They're more compliance type people. So what we and a number of other people in this world do, we call tax strategy. So it's trying to think about new and interesting or just not well known things that you can do to reduce your taxes and bring them to our clients. And it's a heck of a lot more fun than doing tax returns. I can tell you that we don't do any tax returns. We don't want to. We just want to help people. You know, and I would say, maybe I'll say one other thing about that. So everything I've been talking about is a very money, 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 you know, about that. The reason for the name of our company, Wealth Thrive, is our view is all that stuff, saving money on taxes, financial planning, investments, insurance, whatever it is, those are tools to help you lead the life that you really want to. And if most people are honest, if you said to them, you know, close your eyes, think 5 years into the future, 10 years into the future, what does your ideal life look like? They don't usually answer in money terms. They don't say things like, oh, I want to be worth $100 million. And maybe they do in some sense, but they tend to answer around things like where they want to be, what they want to be doing, who they want to be doing it with, who they may not want to be doing it with anymore, their environment. And so the idea is, how do you take a whole bunch of technical skills? One of them might be tax strategy, and harness that to help the clients really get to the life that they want to, because just being rich isn't overwhelmingly fulfilling, right? I mean, so, and that's where the name comes from, Wealth Thrive. How we can we use our wealth, not just to be wealthy, but to kind of thrive in the life that if we could design any life for ourselves, what would it look like?
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Oh, sure. So I guess there are a couple of ways. One, they could go to our website. That's very, very simple, www.wealththrive.com. I'm sort of old fashioned, so if somebody either wants to call me or email me, that's fine. My email is just peter@wealththrive.com. And my phone number is 917-697-4156. And I love it when people just call me out of the blue and say, hey, I saw you on Lily's show, and what you were talking about was interesting. Can we talk about how that might apply to my situation? So that's always fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.